This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. ألا من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فهو من أهل من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز صدق الله العظيم My dear respected elders and brothers, the topic that we have at hand today is pursuit of happiness. Now there is no doubt whatsoever that each and every one of us, we seek happiness. We take and we adopt means to be able to be happy. Everyone from rich or poor, from any different backgrounds, we are always seeking happiness. Although it is very difficult to define or very elusive. Thousands of books have been written with regard to happiness. The United Nations even have a day, the day for happiness. Now, the one point is, how do we define it? It is very difficult to define. There are different definitions with regard to it. Perhaps one general type of definition with regard to happiness, it is a consistent mental, emotional, and a spiritual and a physical state of well-being. One of the things that we do find is, there is nothing wrong in our Sharia in seeking happiness. It is not that when you are happy, you are against the Sharia. It is not as if seeking happiness goes against the taqdeer or against the tawakkul. We know the famous incident. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala one day came and he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling. And he said, أَضْحَكَ اللَّهُ سِنَّكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ O Prophet of Almighty Allah, may Allah ta'ala always keep you smiling. Nabi Karim saw someone on one occasion when his cousin came to Medina after a great deal of separation of many years. Nabi Karim saw someone when he saw him as a Jafar, who was his cousin and more than a cousin, he grew up with him. So he was almost like someone that who Nabi Karim saw someone grew with. Nabi Karim saw someone when he saw him after many years. Nabi Karim saw someone said, "La tadri bi ayyi ma afrah." بِفَتْحِ خَيْبَرْ وَبِقُدُومِ جَعْفَرْ I'm not sure what gave me greater happiness. The Muslims at that time had just won a battle, the Battle of Khaybar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't know what gave me greater happiness. The victory in the Battle of Khaybar or meeting my cousin after so many years. He expressed happiness after meeting his cousin after so many years. So to be happy, there is nothing wrong. It is not against the Sharia. However, one point that we do come to realize in today's time, the existence of many social ills. Despite the fact that we are seeing people getting married, is a greater rate of divorce, marriages breaking up. We see drug addiction. We see people with different social ills in our community, which gives us an indication that many people have an absence of happiness in their life. Now, what is the reason for it? There could be a variety of reasons why we are not happy. Perhaps we are using the wrong approach with regard to happiness. Firstly, let us start off by saying, where is the center for happiness? Where do we locate happiness? So everyone will agree that the center for happiness is our heart. That is the center with regard to contentment and our happiness. You've never ever heard someone say that my ears are happy today. Ever heard anyone say my ears is happy today? My nose is happy today. It might be happy because it's got a very expensive perfume, but there's a temporary sensation. It's not that my nose is happy. The sense and the center for happiness is our heart, right? And sometimes someone made a humorous statement when he was confronted with a statement and he said, beauty is skin deep. So he replied and said, well, that is good enough for me. You don't expect me to be happy with an attractive liver or attractive spleen. Beauty is skin deep, I'm quite happy with that. But I'm trying to say that the center for happiness is our heart. But how many people, after realizing and conceding that the center of happiness is our heart, make the contentment of our heart the center of happiness. We are all the time looking for happiness of material things outside the heart. Yet when we acknowledge that the center of happiness is our heart. The second thing that I would like to make mention of, we must make a difference between pleasure and happiness. Now let me explain to us this, that normally pleasure is that which is short-lived, that comes about because of an external sensation or an external situation, something external, like having a good meal or having a good holiday, or maybe let me cut it off even more in a more limited time space, going on a roller coaster. So what will happen is you will enjoy pleasure for that little bit of time, but the moment that it stops, there is no pleasure because it is only temporary. It is only to the extent of that particular external pleasure or the temporary feeling. It does not last because it is dependent upon external events and experiences. In other words, pleasure is what we experience during an act. Pleasure is temporary and we experience it during an act. Happiness is something that happens after an act and it is long lasting. That is why you will find certain times relationships, and let me just put it in a way that I'm sure you all elderly will be able to understand. You might be able to enjoy an activity, but the relationship goes down because there is no permanent happiness. So there's a difference between pleasure and happiness. Pleasure is dependent upon external forces. It is temporary, but happiness is long-lasting. And perhaps one of the greatest reasons is we are seeking it in the wrong place. Now let me give you one small hypothetical example and a hypothetical tale. Now a hypothetical tale does not necessarily need to be correct for to make the point and to give a lesson. So there was a king that was very sick. He became, you know, depressed. So the Hakim came to treat him. So the Hakim treated him and said, very easy. I can cure you, but the way to cure you is you must wear the good kurta of a person who is permanently happy. Once you wear the kurta of a person who is happy, you will find your depression will go away. So now the courtiers became very happy, very easy cure. Let us go and find the kurta of someone who is happy. So they went to all the ministers. So they said that we want your kurta. Why you want it? The Hakim said, anyone who is happy, his kurta, we put it on the king, he will be rid of his depression and he will become happy. So the minister said, see, I got enough kurtas, but I'm not happy. I got enough challenges in my life. I'm worried who's going to take my position. I'm worried about the competition. You all know what happens in politics. So they started looking for people. They found people with great amount of kurtas, but none of them were happy. So they started searching and they extended their search. So one day they went to a village. So in that village they saw a person who was swimming on the river banks. And he was happy, and he was gleeful, and he was laughing. So they challenged them, this man is very happy. They said, we need you for a little while. We need you because you will get a lot of reward. You will become the means of the curing of the depression of the king. So they said, what do you need me for? They said, we need you to give your kurta so that when the king wears it, he will be rid from his depression. So he said, I'm very happy, but I got no kurta. So all the people who had kurtas, they were not happy. And the one who had was happiness, he could not have a kurta. So sometimes we're looking. And one of the reasons why we look at today, it's a common thing. We all look for happiness in wealth. Now, I'm not saying that having wealth in any way is wrong. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has used the word khair for happiness, goodness. Huh? Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has used the word wa amwalakum allati ja'ala Allahu lakum qiyama. I have made wealth the means of your existence. Without our wealth, how are we going to pay our rent? How are we going to be able to feed our families? How are we going to be able to fulfill our needs? There is nothing wrong with that, with wealth. But it is not the means of happiness. It is not the means of success. It is not the means of well-being. And this is where we make a difference. And this is where sometimes we go on the wrong path of seeking happiness through the means of wealth. By all means accumulated, use it correctly and use it in the right way. Use it to fulfill your needs. But it's not the means of happiness. There are so many examples. There's an ayat in the Holy Quran. When I read this ayat, I shudder sometimes. Because I see it as a mindset which Allah has used in the Quran to describe the mindset of one of the greatest tyrants of humanity. But it is a mindset that is common amongst us. ونادى فرعون في قومه قال يا قوم أليس لي ملك مصر وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي أفلا تبصرون أم أنا خير من هذا الذي هو مهين ولا يكاد يبين فلولا ألقي عليه أسورة من ذهب. O people of Egypt, don't you see I have the river Nile, I have progress, I got wealth. Am I better than Musa who is confronting me? He can't even articulate himself. And if he was successful, and if he was happy, why didn't he have jewelry on his hand? Why didn't he have gold and silver? Wallahi Azim, you start thinking that actually this is something that many times people don't articulate. That look at me, and look at the person who is confronting me. Look at what I've got, and look at what they've got. Yalla, that is a statement and mindset of Fir'aun. That he made wealth the basis of superiority, the basis of success. And he said, Musa is not upon success because he doesn't have what I have. Subhanallah. There are so many examples with regard to people who had great amount of wealth, they didn't have happiness. And I was recently, sometimes ago, reading an article that came in the Reader's Digest many years ago about Christina Onassis, the most wealthiest woman of the time, the sole heiress of the Aristotle fortune. Her mother was, you know, the first lady for a time in America. And she had a turbulent life. And just few weeks before her mysterious death, a journalist asked her and said, you are the wealthiest woman in the world. And she replied and said, the wealthiest but the most saddest woman in the world. The wealthiest but the most saddest woman in the world. Wealth doesn't guarantee happiness. So what? Sometimes we are looking for it in the wrong place. Sometimes we are, you know, searching for it in the wrong place. So these are just some points that I made with regard to happiness. Now let us look at it from a positive point of view. Ulama have made mention that for us to be healthy, we need a comprehensive and a holistic understanding of happiness and well-being. So a person becomes happy when there is physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual well-being. When we have four things, then there is a possibility that we will be able to be happy. One is physical well-being, to be healthy. Now, dear respected elders and brothers, obviously it doesn't mean that a person who is not healthy will not be happy. But it means that look after your health. And there is so much emphasis in Islam with regard to looking after your health. Physical well-being plays a very important role with regard to overall well-being and with regard to happiness. There are so many ayats of the Holy Quran, so many commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are in many ways geared to make our health at the optimum level. When a doctor from another faith, you know, he read this verse of the Holy Quran, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. He's saying, everything with regard to health has been encapsulated in this verse of the Holy Quran. Eat and drink and do not be wasteful. Eat moderately. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is no worse container to fill than your stomach. It is the basis of all, you know, ill and sickness. So one of the greatest things that we have to keep in mind is strive to do things and habits and your diet and everything to have optimum health, because that will, you know, be part of happiness. Of course, when if sickness comes, we take it from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do whatever we need to do, but there is no doubt whatsoever. Physical well-being plays a very important part with regard to overall well-being and with regard to happiness. The second thing with regard to it is intellectual well-being. We must have intellectual well-being. I can't overemphasize this particular aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has spoken about the aspect of intellectual well-being. Increase your knowledge. All the time increase your knowledge. We all know the Arabic saying, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. There is no end with regard to knowledge. No one can say, I've got enough knowledge, I don't need to learn further. Whatever the Quran says with regard to knowledge, Rabbi zidni ilma, O Allah, increasing my knowledge. Everyone is supposed to make this dua, whether he be a learned scholar, whether he be someone who is not learned, O Allah, increasing my knowledge. And when you increase yourself in your knowledge, you will find that it brings about a certain degree of well-being which has a great impact upon your health. And this is, and one of the, you know, we all know the saying, wisdom is the lost property of the believer. Wherever he finds it, he will acquire it. That's one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made alcohol haram. Because through the means of alcohol, alcohol takes away and defogs your intellect. Intellect is a means of increasing your intellectual well-being. So the second thing with regard to happiness is intellectual well-being. Learn to have your well-being intellectually. And too much spare time and wasting of time is one of the factors associated with dementia. Doctors tell us that too much of spare time and wasting time is one of the factors associated with dementia. Keep yourself intellectually stimulated. Learn knowledge. To be able to have intellectual well-being, it will have an impact upon your happiness and have an impact upon, you know, your overall well-being. Today I must say you find it very, very sad. And you know, our whole knowledge and acquiring of knowledge is in 140 characters in Twitter. We don't read books. We don't make an effort with regard to, you know, getting more knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has said people who do not have intellect, they are worse than animals. They are even worse than animals. The third thing is with regard to it is emotional well-being. And today we talk about emotional intelligence. Now what is emotional well-being, emotional intelligence? The ability to identify and manage your own emotions and the emotions of people who are close to you. Manage your emotions, manage the emotions of people who are close to you. It will have a great impact upon your overall well-being. Now, for example, we have anger. Now, ulama have never said that you must not have anger. But anger needs to be channeled. No, Ma Tamir Abdullah has made mention with regard to anger. He said, Imala maqsood hai. Izala maqsood nahi. What it means? It doesn't mean that you must be bereft of anger, but he said you must control and channel your anger. Channel anger must be correctly channeled. So the third thing with regard to is emotional well-being. And also controlling, identifying your emotions and the emotions of people who are close to you. If the women are hearing this, they will get very, very happy. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked after the emotional well-being of his wives. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, one day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Aisha, I want your permission to read tahajjud namaz. I want your permission to read salat." Now the Prophet of Almighty Allah didn't need anyone's permission to perform salat. But he made his wife feel so important. Give me permission to read my namaz. And when she said yes, she said, "How can I deny you?" But look at what did it mean? He looked after the emotional well-being of his wife. One day he told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "I know when you are completely happy with me, when you are in a good mood with me, and I know when you are not in a good mood with me." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "When you are in a good mood during the course of your conversation, when you take an oath, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you are not in a good mood, in your conversation, you say, by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi sallam." How much do we know about our wives with regard to the emotional state of mind, or with regard to their moods, or with regard to their favorite colors? We don't know. But this is part of, you know, overall well-being. And the last one is spiritual well-being. My dear respected brothers, I can't overemphasize this. This is the cornerstone with regard to happiness. Until you don't have the ta'alluq and relationship with the source of happiness, the one who created happiness, you can never be happy. If you displease and you disobey the one who created happiness, how can you expect to be happy? Therefore, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found happiness in spiritual well-being, in spirituality. He told Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala many a times, "Arihna ya Bilal, O Bilal, give me comfort, give the call to prayer, I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That is, and sometimes it comes, you know, there are two kinds of peace of mind in this regard. One is a feeling of being smug and arrogant with our standard of living, the resources that we have, the influence that we wield, the fame that we might enjoy. And this is something that gives us a certain degree of arrogance, smugness, because all our physical and material needs have been met. But this comes without gratefulness to Allah, without acknowledging Allah has given it to us, without accountability to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A feel-good factor. But this physical and material well-being is short-lived. You will find people who have such well-being. There's always a gnawing sense of insecurity in their heart. One day it might go. Right? So there is no permanent happiness with regard to that. It's a feel-good factor. It's an aspect of smugness and arrogance, because apparently, for a short period of time, our physical and material needs are being met. There's another type of state of mind that comes about, that you feel that whatever has been given to me has come from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to be grateful to Almighty Allah for what He has granted me. I'm going to be accountable to Allah what He has granted to me. He has granted it to me as a trust for which I will be accountable. And whatever He gives me, whatever situation that comes upon me, when I realize this, then whatever circumstances come upon me, what do I say? Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Praise be to Almighty Allah in all situations, in all circumstances. That, my dear respected brothers, is real happiness. And in the beginning, let me just conclude with this. I made mention of the ayah, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. He who by the means of his conduct, his amal, his deeds, he saves himself from Jahannam and he earns Jannah, he is successful and he is happy. That is the ultimate happiness and success. Nabi Karim saw someone on one occasion gave the example of being perhaps materially prosperous and happy in this world, but you don't do good deeds and it comes against you on the day of Qiyamah. He put it in this way. Nabi Karim saw someone said, if by argument's sake, if a person had all happiness, all material things, everything that happens according to his woman fancies in this world, and if Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, what would dip him in Jahannam and take him out? Not put him, dip him, take him out. Oh my bondsman, oh my creation, oh my servant, did you ever see happiness? And he will say, Allah, I never ever saw happiness in my life. Even if by argument's sake, he had a life full of happiness. It doesn't happen all the time. With happiness, you're going to have your share of sadness. And if, for example, a person, that also doesn't happen, but Nabi Karim saw him to make the point said, if a person lived a life in this world where there was nothing but misery for him, if on the day of Qiyamah Allah dips him in Jannah and takes him out, oh my bondsman, did you ever see any difficulty? And he will, just because of being dipped in Jannah, he will say, Ya Allah, I don't know what is misery. I have never ever seen any difficulty in my life. Brothers, that is happiness, to be able to gain that particular state which we all have to strive for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.